Thank you. Jonathan and Niz, I'll turn it over to you.
Thank you, Grace. Hello, everyone. Welcome to the fourth of these calls that we're running over this weekend of the 10th and 11th of January. We have dealt with a number of items and had a very productive three sessions so far. So thank you all for your efforts to date. And we'll try and make this final meeting conducted in the same spirit. We've got someone who is at least one person who is not on mute on the line, so if you could please make sure your line is muted if you're not actually contributing to the audio of the meeting.
Especially if you're playing Doodle Jump.
Great. So you'll see up in the right-hand portion of your Adobe Connect room, if you are on Adobe Connect, that we're going to the agenda of the meeting. And the objective of the call is really to focus on accountability within the scope of this working group, and also the links between this working group and the so-called CCWG on accountability, which has become critical to many of us to make sure that we are appropriately and effectively, that the work of the two groups is linked and that the right conditions of linkage are in place. So we also, as part of this survey that we undertook on the back of the public comments, which those of you who've been on the call to date have been familiar with, we asked some specific questions in and around accountability, and we'll run through those. But before moving on with that, we will take a roll call in the way in which we have been doing previously, which is to record everyone in the Adobe Connect room as present in the meeting and anyone who is not in the Adobe Connect room to make themselves known over the audio now. So please make yourself known if you are not in the Adobe Connect room. Thank you. We'll record everyone as present that we can see in the Adobe Connect room. So moving straight on then to item three, which is a review of the accountability components of survey two, we start off with question one. We start off with question three. Now, it happens that there are no items that in this section that on accountability that met what the yellow threshold of acceptability or of percentage responses. They were either white, like 1 and 2, or green, like 3. So moving straight on to 3, it says, ideally, let me pause for a moment to get it up in your screens.
Sorry. We have it up. It's up.
Stop. Thank you. We now have item three. Ideally, the CWG would have begun its work following the adoption of recommendations by the Accountability Cross-Community Working Group. And this is green, indicating that there was the sufficient threshold or balance of opinion in agreeing, strongly agreeing, or is acceptable. Well, that ideal cannot be met because we are out of sync, and in many ways the purpose of this call is to start to and continue to work on how effectively we bridge the gap between the two groups. Item four, ideally, the Accountability Cross-Community Working Group would have begun its work before or at the same time as the CWG IANA, so the groups could work in parallel. Again, well, there's no one disagreed with that, so that's useful to record that, but in practice, we simply have to get on working together, and Lisa and I, as you well know, your co-chairs have met on a reasonably regular basis with the co-chairs of the CCWG, and our group now will work on how elements of how we work together. There have been various components of that which we'll come to when we deal with the work post the survey. Item 6 of the survey, question 6 of the survey. This is an interesting one. ICANN should formally link the CWG IANA and the Accountability CCWG processes to ensure that the work moving forward takes into account equities from both processes, so that in the end, the community, ICANN, and the NTIA have two well-formed and robust plans to ensure the Internet's continued growth and evolution. Again, met the threshold. And I guess this really speaks to the latter part of this call, because we, as the CWG, are going to be talking about how we formally link our work into that of the Accountability CCWG and how we effectively manage that interlinkage. So to the extent that we can do what this question posits that ICANN should have done, we can sort this out ourselves. Any comments or points anyone would like to raise in this respect? Item 7. Point 7 from that came out of the question 7 from the survey. Enhanced accountability, regardless of who the IANA functions operator is, must be in place prior to the IANA stewardship transition. A couple of no responses, a little disagreement, but comfortably into the green threshold. Greg, go ahead.
I guess, and I don't recall how I answered this question, but sorry, this is Greg Shatton for the record. I suppose, you know, one of the issues here might be, what does enhanced accountability mean? And a reason to disagree with this might be, you know, the whole Workstream 1 versus Workstream 2 issue that the accountability group is dealing with. You know, clearly whatever is in Workstream 1 needs to be in place. That's by definition what Workstream 1 is. And Workstream 2 is stuff that, you know, there's a plan to put it in place, but it's not actually in place. So, you know, if enhanced accountability means Workstream 1 and Workstream 2, then I would disagree with this statement. But I think that's probably fairly self-evident that we're really only talking about Workstream 1 being in place. Otherwise, I don't think there'd be a lot of agreement that everything needs to get done before there's a transition. Only that which is promised. Only that which needs to get done.
And the question doesn't specify, or the statement that led to the question simply talks about enhanced accountability. It doesn't specify what particular enhanced accountability. All right. Point 9. Statement 9. Following publication of CCWG accountability draft recommendations, an assessment should be conducted by the CWG IANA to determine whether the outcome of the accountability process provides a satisfactory appeals mechanism. This is an interesting one because it speaks to a specific point, that is, whether a satisfactory appeals mechanism is in place, but it also hints at another process which we might like to discuss now or probably later in the call, and that is how the cycle of conditionality between the two groups' work may exist. In other words, this group, making some form of assessment, analysis, or other process to review the outcome of the CCWG on accountability for its satisfactory scope and effectiveness in relation to this group's requirements. Okay, and item 10 then, a placeholder should be included in the CWG IANA proposal, that is our proposal, that is submitted to the ICG to allow for further evaluation and work as needed after the CCWG Accountability Track 1 recommendations are finalized. This receives a clearly sufficient level to have the green level of support, and if you look at the percentage difference between those who agreed and those who disagreed, it's touching on 94%. So there's a pretty strong view here that there's got to be a de facto feedback loop or concluding of the cycle. Would anyone like to make any additional comments or input on these outcomes of the survey? Reminding you again that this is fed from the public comments into survey questions such that we can then understand the response of the group to those public comments, the response of this working group to those public comments, and our convergence of views around those. And we've typically discussed over the last few calls the extent of our convergence and our willingness to accept, therefore, these contributions from the public comment. Okay. Greg, please go ahead.
Just briefly, and I know we're going to get to kind of the question of time frames later on in the call, but clearly, if we say that we're going to allow for further evaluation and work, basically asking the ICG to kind of give us another shot at changing our proposal whenever the CCWG comes up with their Workstream 1 evaluation, kind of, you know, pushes this off. So this may be a nice to have, but if we're not, and I see it says should rather than must, but if we were to insist on this, you know, it would throw a lot of timing, you know, way off into the future. So, and it's, you know, has knock-on effects that we may not fully appreciate at this time. Thanks,
Greg. And I think that's relatively closely related to Matthew Shear's point in the chat as well. I suppose this gets to a critical point, and it's the mechanics of how that interlinkage takes place. And we should come to this in the discussion in this call, because there are two ways of looking at that. We could say something broad like, we can't consider our proposal finalized unless we've seen that the outcome from the CCWG, which in my mind would leaves it very open-ended. Or another way of doing it is, we could say, providing condition A, B, C, D, E are satisfied in the work of the CCWG, we will be satisfied. Our proposal will stand. And in a way, that's a more closed-ended way of doing things. So that's something we need to think about. And I think we should come on to that now or shortly in the call. Okay. So let's close off the review of the survey, which in effect completes our entire review of the survey, which has been substantial and thorough, at least in so far as we could manage to do within the time available, and seem to have done a pretty good job of going through it and getting moving the conversation ahead. We now move on to items 4 and 5 in the agenda, which start to deal with operational and broader accountability and this group's relationship with that. I'm going to try and make a couple of remarks to start the thinking off. They may cause you to respond in agreement or disagreement would be interesting to hear. Clearly, the NTIA transition comes with it both an oversight of operations and NTIA's oversight of some description of ICANN's broader accountability and governance. What that then throws up is what is the work of this group according to the charter of this group, and what can we effectively link into the work of the related and interconnected work of the CCWG on accountability. Well, it's very clear when we talk about accountability in our context, in the context of the CWG, that we have to have, our work must produce some form of accountability and oversight of the functional performance of IANA. Therefore, that we have, at minimum, oversight of the basic operational accountability, associated escalation with respect to that accountability, and continuous improvement of that performance. So I have to think about that in a way as a kind of level one of operational accountability. In part, our groups also talked about another form of operational accountability, which is should, after many intermediate steps and escalations have taken place, is there a point at which operational accountability, operational performance breaks down such that some form of severance between ICANN and IANA is possible, whether you call that retender, recontracting, and so on. But all of that relates to what one might call operational accountability. And I think perhaps that's, notwithstanding the structural issue of contract co or not, that in many ways is perhaps our easier task, and that relates to the work of the CSC and so on. We did have a question yesterday which I thought was worth noting, and that is the accountability of the CSC and or the MRT, to whom are they accountable, which is an interesting one. So those are some thoughts on operational accountability. Clearly, when we go into the broader accountability, we start to think about the linkage with the CCWG's work. And in thinking about that, it's really, we have a couple of practical things that we need to think about. Our input into the scope of the CCWG, which is still possible, is setting out what we would expect the CCWG to be working on. And what, if any, components of our ultimate proposal are conditional on the work of the CCWG? And if they are conditional, if our work is conditional, you know, we need to be specific about how might those conditions be satisfied in giving that appropriate level of guidance to the CCWG. So I've touched on both operational and broader accountability. Let's go back to the operational and make sure that there's scope for anyone to make comments on and input onto the definition, if you like, and scope of operational accountability, which is this oversight of the functional performance of the IANA function, arguably split into two levels. One is ensuring basic operational accountability and the associated escalation with that, ensuring continuous improvement of functions. And the second is, in extremis, leading to potentially a series of escalations which may ultimately lead in severance. Any comments, questions, thoughts on operational accountability? Donna, go ahead.
Thanks, Jonathan. Donna Austin. So this goes to something that came up on the list recently with a discussion about, one was about budget and the other was about It raised the question for me of, in the event of a rebid, do the conditions that NTIA have set for transition continue in perpetuity? Or is it once that NTIA is satisfied for this purpose, that the transition can occur, do those requirements that they had no longer hold? So this is in the context of a discussion I was having where I suggested that in the event of a rebid, ITU or might be a possible bidder, which was rejected outright. But one of the things that Milton raised was that it's not possible because it wouldn't meet the NTA requirements. But my question is, do the NTA requirements that we have now continue in perpetuity? Thanks, Jonathan.
It's a really interesting question. I don't know how much that relates specifically to operational accountability, but I see the value in the question. It's the survivability of the conditions at transition. How much do those conditions set in place by NTIA at transition Steve makes an important point in the chat. What keeps the prospective rebidding decision from being used as leverage on ICANN unrelated to IANA rather than specifically? Well, I guess that I could take a stab at answering that. That depends on how tightly scoped the operational accountability components of the proposal are. At least to the extent that we're talking about operational accountability, how tightly those are scoped. And that's incumbent on this group to scope those very effectively. Alan.
Sorry, from the notes, I'm not clear whether we decided that the accountability of the CSC and MRT are part of operational accountability or not. In my mind,
Alan?
They are, but the notes don't say it. You did mention the subject, but I don't know what the outcome was.
Yeah, so Alan, the context in which I mentioned that is we're talking about operational accountability. Operational accountability will be supervised by the CSC and the MRT, and I raised the fact that yesterday someone had said, well, in that case, who's supervising or how is the accountability of the CSC and the MRT managed? So that's what the notes should reflect.
I'm suggesting that very much is within scope, because if they're verifying the operational accountability and no one's verifying that they're in fact doing that job, it's moot.
Okay, so what I think you're saying, Alan, is the proposal needs to contain some language which deals with the accountability of the CSC and the MRT.
Yes, indeed, that is what I'm saying in a much clearer way than I said it.
Thank you. I'm just trying to capture it. Greg.
Greg Chapman for the record. I think, first, kind of following what Alan has said, some of the, additional work that has been done in the RFP3 group, we have discussed the issue of recall by assuming the MRT is a multi-stakeholder group, that there are representatives, that there's people serving as representatives of the organization, that the organization can recall their members if they're going rogue, and that there should also be methodology for which for the MRT itself to deal with members who are perpetually or repeatedly absent or failing to perform. So I think those things are being contemplated on that level. I think there are obviously there are broader issues of accountability too that would need to be dealt with in terms of performance reviews and accountability to the community. But those are to some extent inherent in any multi-stakeholder expression, so to speak. Thank you. Allen saying in the chat that accountability of CSC and MRT in the contract code model is equivalent to the accountability of ICANN in the internal model. I think that's a false equivalency. I think the CSC and MRT are really more like working groups in the sense of their accountability to the community. They're not corporations. They don't have board issues of fiduciary duty and duty of loyalty to the corporation and all sorts of other things. ICANN accountability is a heck of a lot more difficult to solve than accountability of a group of stakeholders, in my opinion. Thank you.
Okay, there's a couple more hands come up. We've got Lisa and then Alan.
Hi, it's Lisa Fuhr for the record. I just saw Steve Brucker's question in the chat. And Steve, could I ask you to elaborate a bit on this? Because you're asking if a decision goes outside of its charter. Is this regarding decisions in this process or later on? Thank you.
Sorry, I was muted. What I'm raising is if you have a group that is empowered to recall board members or the like, then that gives them the full power of exerting influence over the entire operation of ICANN for any purpose whatsoever, irrespective of whatever is written down. So if we write this with the intent that this is only for actions related to lack of performance or issues related to IANA, but the group that is in place gets it into their minds that they've got the power and they're going to exercise it for whatever reason. What are the rules of their governance? What are the appeal mechanisms? What are the accountability mechanisms? They can do as much damage as they like. And I say this not with the expectation that that will happen, but if we're trying to write some rules that are going to last for a while, then the exact same set of governance issues that we deal with for ICANN and indeed for any institution that we set up would apply for this new, effectively, super institution.
Lisa, would you like to?
Yeah, I was just, so what I hear you're saying is that if we're going to have mechanisms of, like, being able to having board members removed or whatever, you want us to make a mechanism that ensures that it's not going to be done in a broader sense. But this is,
Okay, but I'm a little worried that we're going off track here, because the track here is operational accountability. The discussion, as I understand it, and is we have a function that's being performed and reviewed by a customer service committee for basic operational accountability, associated escalation and continuous improvement. We have the ultimate prospect of that in extremis being escalated for functional performance breakdown to a prospective severance. In this context, when we're talking specifically about operational accountability, not the next section, which is about broader accountability, there is no circumstances that I'm currently aware of that board this could interfere with the composition of the ICANN board, for example. This is all about, and when we talk about operational accountability, this is simply about the effectiveness of performance of the technical and administration operational functions of the IANA function of the IANA. So let me go to the queue and make sure, but that's where I think we're at. Alan.
Thank you. In response to Greg, when I used the term equivalent, I didn't mean the solutions are the same or the details are the same. I meant it's at the same level. That is, ICANN accountability in the internal model says, let's make sure ICANN is really doing the job that they're committed to, intellectually, if not in a contract. And the same is true at the at the CSC and MRT. And yes, it is simpler in some level because we don't have boards of directors. It's also more complex because we have still not defined the MRT as to what kind of entity it is. It's supposedly not incorporated, and how do you control this free-floating entity? How do you have control over it? So equivalent did not mean the solution is the same. It just means there's an issue that we have to address, in my mind. Thank you.
Okay, I've got a cue, but I note that Matthew Shears points out that in the chat that operational accountability is within the scope, therefore, of the CSC and the MRT. Greg.
Greg Chatton, for the record. I think we are kind of getting off to the more attractive or controversial discussion, which is the nuclear option or various nuclear options, you know, such as, you know, blowing up the board and blowing up the IANA relationship to ICANN, and that maybe that's just not where we are yet. We'll need to get there, obviously. And just to respond briefly to what Steve said earlier, I think those are good cautionary words. However, I think they are cautionary words for any organization setting up any kind of accountability system that has teeth. So cautionary words are good, but those challenges are unavoidable for us. Thank you.
So given that we're on item four, kind of in scope, if you like, right now, is this discussion in and around operational accountability, and very shortly we move to item five, which is the relationship between the work of this group and broader accountability. Bertrand?
Yeah, a couple of comments. The first element, when we talk about operational accountability, as far as I understand from my experience, the best accountability system is something that has different levels and can function at the lowest level possible, which means that some elements in the operational accountability include the issue of transparency of the requests, which seem to have a good level of traction and consensus. It includes the ongoing monitoring and the capacity to have direct requests for redress directly to the INR operator without having necessarily a huge system of escalation, and having also the system of escalation. So the notion that operational accountability is actually a layered system that needs to have capacities of intervention so that reaction to any misfunction can be done as early as possible and at the lowest level possible. That's the first point. The second point is, when we will talk about the nuclear option, there was something that emerged in previous discussions and that was documented in the chat in particular, is that I think there was a great consensus emerging on the notion that whenever there is the possibility of a nuclear option, it needs to be on pre-existing and pre-established very precise criteria. And I think a certain number of people believe that this set of criteria should put a threshold relatively high because there is a balance between stability and accountability. And the final point is not to forget the question that Donna asked, which we had never come upon before, but I think is very valid, on how permanent are the requirements that have been put by NTIA today on any possible change of operator. Thank you.
Thanks, Bertrand. Two very brief responses from the chair. One, yes, agreed, and we must look at layers in all of this. This is not a binary. You're either no customer-supplier relationship should be binary, where you are, or whether it's an employee, a supplier, or anything else. You don't just go from performing adequately to fired. There's a whole lot of steps in between that need to be fleshed out. Two, I'm simply not sure how to. I think Donna's question is exceptionally valid. I agree with you. I'm just not quite sure how it fits into this particular topic or how we deal with it. But I do agree with you. I'd like to capture that and find a way of discussing that. So any comments on those intermediate steps are welcome. Any thoughts or comments on on that. But it feels to me like we as perhaps Greg said and others, that really the operational accountability is as much about a series of detailed specifications and much less about the more sort of philosophical or broader points that we need to cover. Bertrand?
Yeah, if I may chime in, when I fully agree with that, and when I was trying to list a few things, maybe it would be useful at that stage to list a certain number of things and others can complete. The first step for accountability is the transparency of the post of the request, so that there is more visibility on the whole workflow. The second element is the role that the CSC will have in monitoring ongoing performance. The third role is the capacity to directly, or the channels for direct requests to the INR operator, whatever the channel, to correct any potential mistake. The fourth one is the role that the CSC, or potentially the MRT, as I understand there are discussions, will have on performing annual reviews and potential redress. And the fifth one, if my numbering is correct, is the whole mechanisms for appeals. I would put that, and maybe the list is not complete, but I think it would be interesting to try to nail down those different levels before we get to the second dimension, which is the larger nuclear option type of change of operator, if it helps.
Yes, thank you, Bertrand. I agree. It would be helpful to have any, bearing in mind that an objective of the discussion is to help us flesh out those levels. So any suggestions and constructive input on that is helpful. So I agree, that's a helpful suggestion. Chuck?
Thanks, Jonathan, and thanks, Bertrand. I would just add one simple one after the transparency one, in other words, number two, and before going to the CSC, is the particular registry operator that's involved in the issue should have the opportunity, in fact responsibility, to try and resolve the issue with the IANA functions operator before even going as far as to the CSC. And if that doesn't happen, then you can go to the CSC. But just adding one step, I'm sure there are others we can add too, but I think as far as I know, nobody's ever thought that we need to jump right to higher levels. We should solve it, as I think you said yesterday, at the lowest level possible. And thanks for the steps you provided. There's one more. And by the way, that one, as you know, for those that were on the calls yesterday, I don't remember which call it was on, but we actually talked about some statements that there was strong support for allowing the individual operator to go directly to the IANA functions operator to try and get resolution. Thanks.
Yeah, thanks, Chuck. So can Bertrand, can you just check that you've satisfied in some ways, and Chuck as well, that those notes are being adequately captured? Because these constructive suggestions as to how we develop the documentation, the thinking, and the ultimate documentation of that thinking is very helpful. And to the extent that it's not, either come in on the audio now or email us on the list so that we capture them.
Yeah, actually, just to quickly chime in, I mentioned in the chat the point that Chuck mentioned was what I intended by the second point. So I can put in the chat the four or five points that I had in mind, perhaps.
Is there any more detail that others would like to provide? I think before we move on to item five. Yeah, I know Robert reinforces that in the chat with this so-called principle of subsidiarity, which essentially resolving at the lowest level, which is important. Chuck?
Thanks, Jonathan. And the reason I'm jumping in again, because Robert's comment in the chat is related to a post I sent to the CWG list in between meetings today. regarding the SAC 69 document, which has some very good principles, including the ones that Robert mentioned here, and this isn't the time to talk about those, but I just call your attention to that because there's some very good principles that the SAC 69 document supports and that I think we could easily endorse. Thanks.
All right. I think that gives us an opening then to move to item 5, unless there is something else that anyone would like to raise prior to doing so. So in moving to item 5, we have a situation where transition of stewardship takes place. This group has created an appropriate proposal for sufficient future management of the IANA functions. And within that operational management, there is an ultimate condition after substantial layers of intermediate steps where, should performance not be remedied, there's an escalation route. However, there's a view that in addition to that, NTIA in its stewardship role had an overarching oversight of ICANN and its accountability. Now, that may well be being dealt with adequately or within the associated and interrelated work of the CCWG. The question for this group is, what form of steerage or guidance should we be giving to that CCWG, and what, if any, components of the proposal that we prepare should have some conditions in it for the work of that CCWG. I guess to introduce this, it's probably worth looking at where we are with the CCWG on accountability at present. Lisa, before I ask Greg to look at the statement, is there anything you would you like to say anything about our work with the CCWG today?
Thank you, Jonathan. This is Lisa, for the record, Lisa Fu. Well, the statement is a product of our work with the CCWG. We have weekly meetings with the chairs of this group, and I guess the statement is not as we expected. It's not as fulfilling, and that will Greg will introduce you to that, those of you who haven't read it yet, but we're still confident it's a very good relationship and work we have with this group, it would have been nice to see more from this group for this, but we're working hard on reaching some of the issues or finishing some of the issues asked for. Greg?
Thank you, Lisa. It's Greg Chatton, for the record. As Lisa indicated, and as many of you probably already know, about a week ago, the CCWG sent out what they termed their high-level statement, which they indicated were not only for our edification, but also to guide the work of the other groups preparing ICG proposals, or proposals going to the ICG for transition of the IANA functions in their communities. Although they were in many ways responding, you know, specifically to requests made by this group, essentially, you know, we had earlier, we had noted specifically to that group that there were three issues that we were grappling with, but, it, you know, generally dealing with the larger issue of accountability, we're dealing with specifically, you know, binding review of board actions, At that time, we were talking, we haven't talked so much lately, actually, about the independent certification for delegation and redelegation requests, also about the independent appeals panel, but largely, really now, I think the focus has shifted, as it should, to the issues of interlinking on the issues of accountability. And we were certainly, you know, hoping that we would see some response about, you know, how they were going to deal with the issues of enhancing ICANN accountability. And we get asked for feedback that could be received early enough to be taken into account as we, you know, finalize or continue to work on our proposal. We had even suggested that it would be highly attractive if they could give us something to work with for this high-intensity work weekend that we have now been embroiled in. Their response, and I think it speaks for itself, is that while the CCWG accountability appreciates the sense of urgency and works as expeditiously as possible on the tasks it has been chartered with, it is not feasible to publish a work results of the group in January. I'm not sure what you're asking for, work results, but basically I think their message is that we can't count on them for anything concrete or even with any level of specificity any time in the near future. And we'll need to see more specifically what their when their time frame might issue forth something of value. Right now they've, you know, told us that they've said that there are three kind of high-level things they would assure us and I guess all the other groups that their accountability will address the concern of to whom ICANN should be accountable, what ICANN should be held accountable for, and how the ICANN or its board of directors should be held accountable, which I guess is really just a way of restating their initial work statement. So that's, I'm not sure all that useful for us, because that doesn't indicate anything about how they might actually solve all those problems. That is really only their problem statement. If their problem statement were that they were going to turn lead into gold, I would not have confidence. I have a much greater amount of confidence in the CCWG that ultimately they will solve all these problems. The issue is when. Of course, done is better. This is not a case of done is better than perfect. This is a case of we better get this right because we have only one shot. And while perfect is not what we aim for, because there's going to have to be compromises and realities to be dealt with, quick is not better than good enough. Quick is not an option. So I am, you know, very sympathetic to the bind that the accountability group is in, but nonetheless, not sure that there's anything we can do other than to continue to do our work, but to think about what we need to communicate back to the CCWG so that they can continue in their work and produce something that will ultimately be helpful to our end result and to the ICG and the NTIA when they see the proposal. There is one specific point that they make in reference to our group, which is, and I'll read it again verbatim, unless the CWG stewardship specifies otherwise, board decisions that are directly related to IANA functions could be added to the remit of independent mechanisms, and here they mean independent mechanisms for review of board decisions, for the review and redress of decisions of the ICANN Board of Directors, which the CCWG accountability may address in Workstream 1. So that, I guess, gives us some comfort that they are looking at board oversight issues that we could latch on to if they meet certain criteria that we would think are appropriate in terms of review and redress of IANA-related decisions by the board. But by and large, my personal reaction to this, at least, is that we need to continue with our work without much specific guidance from the CCWG accountability, and rather we'll need to give them some guidance on what we would like to see from them in terms of criteria in order for that to kind of satisfy our concerns about broader accountability. Thank you.
And so, Greg, in my mind, that I formulate that into a couple of related questions. It's how might we help steer the work of the CCWG, and what conditions of our proposal might exist? In what way might our proposal be conditional on the outcome of the work of the CCWG? And then I guess ultimately, what's the feedback loop? But as you say, there is a very specific question in there. Is they've phrased it in the way of a statement. We will do this unless the CWG tells us otherwise. So the question for the CWG on that specific point is, are we okay with that? Does anyone want to tell them otherwise? Alan, go ahead.
Thank you. Clearly, the CCWG has its target set high, and it's looking to put in place good ICANN accountability using the IANA transition as leverage, to quote Steve DelBianco, regardless of what it is that we're proposing. When the CCWG started, Jonathan, you and Lisa sent a short list of three items, some of which were not mandatory, that the accountability group had to provide if the contract co-proposal were to go forward. I think once we come up with something more concrete as our proposal, you need to do that again, or we need to do that again, to tell them what their minimum target is to satisfy whatever it is we're proposing. And clearly, you know, that's going to be perhaps different if we have the contra co model or not. But I think that's the kind of message we need to send in no uncertain terms, so they know what the targets are and we'll be able to deliver.
I understand that, Alan, and I think in some senses the implicit request is there anything you can do in that regard ahead of Frankfurt, their meeting in Frankfurt in 1 week's time? How can we? Is there anything? And I understand what you'll say. Well, the work hasn't been done yet, as far as but that could be helpful. Chuck.
Thanks, Jonathan, and thanks, Alan. I'm in agreement with what you said, but I do think, to the extent we can, we need to give them some specific items that we need them to address. I think call number three that happened earlier today, in that call, and don't ask me to cite them all, I can cite one, there were several items identified for which we're really dependent upon the CCWG to provide some accountability mechanisms. The one that I do remember is one that I was involved in, I guess not surprisingly, where there were several of us. I recall Steve and Donna and I in exchanges in the chat and some verbally as well, with regard to the ability for a registry operator to appeal a delegation decision, understanding that in the case of GTLDs, that happens before it ever gets to IANA. I'm fully aware of that. And that's why it fits better in the accountability work than ours. But we still need that to be addressed so that a registry operator could appeal if they think that policy has not been followed appropriately in the delegation or redelegation decision, and can't resolve it through existing ICANN accountability mechanisms, then I think that's one area where we need the CCWG to address, and we should communicate that to them, and along with others that we can probably pull out of the MP3 and notes and transcripts from this, the earlier meeting. Thanks.
Thanks, Chuck. That's very helpful, and that's what I and I think Lisa and many of us would like to see is a concrete list that, in one sense, gets those issues off our plate, and they remain off our plate to the extent that we remain satisfied that the CCWG has or will deal with them appropriately. And I sense from them that that'd be very helpful to get those to the extent that we can ahead of their major meeting in Frankfurt in a week's time. So hopefully we can do that. We can pull elements out of this weekend's work that give maybe not all or the full scope, but as much direction as possible. Greg.
Great chatting again. Thanks. I definitely agree with what Chuck said. We also have to be kind of thinking about what is kind of the dividing line between the accountability issues we must deal with in our group and the accountability issues that must be dealt with before the transition can occur, but that would be dealt with by the DCWG on accountability. So we're putting some things on their plate which are really already on their plate, and some things remain on our plate. What's important for us is to give them the guidance they need, because their overall indicators are that, you know, there will not be a successful transition without successful outcome from CCWG, and we need to give them guidance on how these are going to interlink. And I know we're going to be getting to a discussion again of kind of timeline, and also whether, and we need to think more carefully exactly about how this puzzle is going to fit together as we work kind of back and forth between our duties to, or our goal of submitting a proposal to the ICG and our goal of working effectively with the CCWG. And it's the more kind of back and forth and potential placeholders and potential revisits or the like that we put in there, that, you know, we just need to make sure that we have an idea of where the timeline is going to bring us, how we're going to get there.
Yeah, and I must say that in response to that, Greg, you'll know that Lisa and myself are acutely aware of the timeline and the timeline issues. And so I think, again, in an ideal world, we would have, in a sense, one-way conditionality that, providing that was met, we could carry on with our, we would not seek to modify our proposal. Alan?
Yeah, thank you. I agree with what Chuck and Greg just said, but I put my hand up to respond to you in response to me. Other than workload management, there's no reason why we could not create before the accountability week Frankfurt meeting convenes roughly 7 days from now. Two lists. One is the ones that would be required for the contract co-model, and a superset of that which would be required for the internal one. We don't know the details of either of those plans right now, but we have a pretty good idea of what's going to be required to make them work. So, you know, I'm not trying to give you more work, but we certainly could give them two lists, and that would, you know, address what they're asking for in with more detail.
Yeah, or one list segmented with those 2 points. But I take the point.
Yeah, no, one list with a, you know, a division between the two, whatever.
Petro?
Yeah, thank you. Let me think out loud here for a second, and I'll be brief. When I look at the ICANN accountability and the role of the ICANN board, one thing that has always struck me and has been said in many discussions, and I experienced that on a personal basis as a board member, is that the ICANN board has actually two functions and two types of accountability. It is the executive board, or it is the board of a corporation, and has elements of accountability regarding how the operations of the corporation function. And the second dimension is that it is a step in a policy-making process where there is a different type of accountability, particularly when there is a question of whether the board is overstepping its responsibility and doing more than validating the process that has been conducted by the SOs and making decisions on its own. When you look at the INF function, even today, not only is the INF function a very administrative and clerical process, but the ICANN board actually has a relatively limited, if at all, responsibility in the chain. What I'm seeing in the architecture that we're exploring in the CWG is that by the creation of the CSC and the MRT, we are creating a chain for accountability that actually could almost allow, if I push the envelope, to have the board of ICANN completely out of the actual substance of the thing. And I wonder whether the accountability issue on the IANA thing is not more in the direction of strengthening the CSC and getting the board almost out of the loop of this, which would mean in that case that the question of accountability of ICANN as a whole would be much less important, and that the tracks might be a little bit more separate than we might think. And if we provide accountability mechanism or transparency and all the layered thing that we just discussed to make sure that the CSC and the IANA staff are operating properly, then the responsibility of ICANN here is not so much at the level of the board, but just at the level of the staff and the administration. I'm just trying to think out here, because I'm not sure that the it is not possible. I think it is possible to strengthen the accountability chain in the IANA operations themselves with the CSC and MRT that will reduce tremendously the need for having ICANN accountability as a whole, even in an internal solution. Final point is, that being said, the fact that everybody agrees that there is a link between the ICANN accountability in general and the IANA transition is about leverage. And I do support the notion that there shouldn't be a transition and that this is an opportunity to provide accountability for the rest of the ICANN processes, including policy, but that it is not so much that the CCWG needs to solve the issues that are regarding ICANN, IANA accountability, if I'm clear enough. Once again, it's just thoughts at that stage, but an attempt.
Thanks, Bertrand. Just going back to the previous speaker before we seek any responses to your thoughts, and I know we've got Greg in the queue as well. Just wonder, Alan, if you would be willing to make a stab at that list of building that list up of the superset that you described that might associated with that we could pass across the CCWG. If you could socialize any thoughts you've got on that, because we're going to need that in short order, it would be good to get that something circulating on that.
Certainly, I have nothing else to do this coming week.
Wonderful. Thank you very much. So, bearing in mind what Bertrand said, if anyone would like to respond to that, please, as well, and I've got Craig next in the queue.
Thanks. I am responding to Bertrand. I agree with one part of what Bertrand said and disagree with another. The part I agree with is that it's not up to the CCWG to deal with issues of operational accountability for IANA. But I disagree with the idea that somehow by creating a CSC and the MRT, we're making ICANN or the board any less accountable for performance of the IANA function. I think they're two very different relationships, whether or not it's a kind of the contract co-external relationship or more a more internal relationship, the relationship of the community, the multi-stakeholder community to the IANA function is different from the responsibility of the corporation for which all those people work and for and where all those assets left lie and
need to be taken care of.
So I don't think, even if the IANA function itself is a relatively small portion of the board's duties, I don't think they're off the hook in any, you know, way, shape, or form for that. Maybe the CSC and the MRT will be a better steward of the IANA function specifically than the NTIA or not, but I think that the transition doesn't change ICANN's responsibility or the board's responsibilities for the IANA functions. Thank you.
Bertrand, it looks like your hand is up and you may want to come back on that.
I just wanted to respond very quickly to Greg. I agree there is a distinction. What I was alluding to is that in the let me put it this way. In the current IANA workflow, there are two different things in terms of the responsibility of ICANN. There is one thing which is the correct staffing and the resources and the technical operations and so on. And the second dimension is what are the decisions that are being taken along the way when the INR team is actually dealing with a particular request. The first part is the general functioning of ICANN. It's an operational performance in terms of having the correct staffing and so on. The second part is more in the workflow of validation. And what I meant is that from my personal experience at the moment, the ICANN board has a very limited role in the validation chain, particularly because for the GTLDs, if I'm correct, and correct me if I'm wrong, currently the delegations are being handled by the ICANN INR staff the moment the ICANN process for deciding that a GTLD is delegated has been decided in the other part. But in the INR, they just received the order to delegate, and if I'm not mistaken, it doesn't even go to the board. And on the delegation and redelegation, there were intense discussions all along inside the board on whether there should even be a step of the board validating this. This is what I was addressing, and I wonder whether the creation of the CSC and the MRT is not creating a channel that actually could replace the very small function that the board was doing. So the accountability is different for the workflow and for the administration, staffing, and so on. That's just a distinction I'm trying to explore, and I'm not completely set on that, but just a clarification.
Note in that regard, Matthew Shear's comment in the chat pointing out that the model or the proposal as currently drafted or perhaps envisaged doesn't see the board overruling the CSC or MRT. In fact, there is little, if any, role for the board in that work. Chuck, your hand is up.
Thanks, Jonathan. I'm going to digress from your specific request with regard to specific requests and go to a general one. I wonder, and obviously this assumes on that the CWG in large part agrees with this, but I wonder if we should also communicate some general recommendations to them, some of which I think have been discussed a little bit in the community, but it might be good to specifically say them. And I'm going to focus on the area of the three work stream or two work streams, and suggest maybe that there should be three. My first proposal for a suggestion to them would be that in cases where it's not clear where an issue should be dealt with in work stream one or two, that they err on the side of caution and put it in work stream one, because it's very important to us, right, on that. Secondly, a possible recommendation would be that maybe they create a third work stream that would be one where, and again, this is an issue that has come up in community discussions and I'm sure in their discussions, where there needs to be a guarantee that a particular recommendation will be implemented, but it does not have to literally be completed. The implementation does not have to be completed until after the transition. So it allows some flexibility there, because some things will take quite a bit of time to implement. And I don't think anybody is looking for long delays. And if we could, so now maybe they're dealing with that in another way, and that's fine. But I throw those out for CWG discussion on whether or not we might want to include a couple recommendations like that.
Thanks, Chuck. That's a sort of, maybe I'm thinking of that as a sort of 1A and 1B, if you like. They're separate components of work stream one. Strikes me that something else we need in addition to that, and I'd welcome any responses or pick up of that point by Chuck, will be the preparation of some form of not only is it conditional and other requirements that we want to pass across to the CCWG, but we should perhaps try and represent this in some kind of flow, how we see and discuss the flow of how this works, so that we have some kind of flow chart or view of how information might go between the CWG, the CCWG, the ICG, and how this, so that we know where, if any conditions are in place, how those impact flow of work and any timing impacts. Are there any responses to Chuck's suggestion? Have we exhausted everyone with all of these calls?
Would it make sense to put, this is Greg Chatton, if I may, would it make sense to kind of put a suggestion out to the list?
Okay. Yeah, we can, you mean onto the email list, or should,
yeah.
Should we do a poll in the meeting right now? I mean,
I'll leave it to you. All of the above and more.
Chuck, do you want to suggest those in the form of a question that we could potentially... Paul?
Thanks, Jonathan. Chuck speaking. Sure, and I think it needs to be two questions. The first one being, should the CWG recommend that the CCWG exercise caution when placing items in Workstream 1 and Workstream 2, and in the case of doubt, err conservatively and put them in Workstream 1. Somebody may be able to do that shorter than I did, I'm sure. But on the fly, that's what I came up with. Do you want me to go ahead and suggest the second one as well at the same time?
Yeah, suggest that, and I'll try and help with some wording.
Okay. The CWG recommends that the CCWG consider a sub work stream to work stream one that would include issues that need to have implementation guaranteed before the transition but could be implemented after the transition.
Yeah, so this the I guess question one could be Does the CCWG default to putting items in Workstream 1 in the event of any doubt?
Should be preference given to Workstream 1?
Yeah. Is there a...
I'm fine with that. I think everybody understands the gist of what I'm saying. I'm not stuck to particular words as long as we get the point across.
And then should Workstream 1 be divided such that it covers necessary conditions to be fulfilled pre-transition and necessary conditions to be fulfilled post-transition?
That's pretty good, except for the latter one. We may want to be a little more precise in that it's not, because we want to make it clear that it's they need to be guaranteed. Whether that's the right word or not, we can debate. But the actual implementation could happen afterwards. We just want to make sure that everybody's clear on
that. Yeah, I guess I was using fulfilled as shorthand for implementation.
Yeah, well, yeah, and I, Chuck, again, and I think that fulfilled might not be explicit enough.
Thank you, Chuck. All right, there's a couple of comments come up in the chat. Hands raised in the room. So go ahead, Alan.
I guess number one, I want some clarity as to where this fits in what I was charged with doing, and then I have another comment. But
Alan, this is Chuck. I think what you are charged with doing is adding to the list I started on specific accountability issues that we need addressed before the before our proposal can really be finalized. These two issues are broader in scope, not specific accountability issues that they want to address. Now, I probably shouldn't be the one doing this. It probably should be Jonathan and Lisa, so I'll let them chime in.
Okay. What I put my head up originally for was, at this point, the ambitions of the accountability CCWG are far in excess of anything we're likely to need for the contract co-proposal and probably for an internal ICANN proposal. So I don't think we need to subdivide, give them all these caveats. They're already targeting something pretty high. But I think we need to simply say what we need in place before. I'm not sure the other ones are really come into our need category as opposed to want.
Thanks, Alan. I suppose I see it in two ways. It's
what specific
areas of work do we need done pre-transition, and or in Chuck's second stream B, if you like, at least specified for implementation post-transition, and then second, are any of those specific conditions of our proposal? And I note that Matthew Shear says, I think the purpose of the Frankfurt meeting is to decide what accountability measures go into which streams more fully and more fully to determine the priority. So this is good timing to try and produce this, and I think we as co-chairs are very aware of that. Robert?
Yeah, just further to Chuck's comment, I guess his second question, that may be something to put into RFP4, which is transition implications, in terms of going forward, because it kind of sets a timeline, and that may be that these certain conditions need to be met going forward before certain things get triggered. So in part of that documentation, I would say just make sure that that document is there as well. So if we could capture that for RFP4, that'd be great. Thank you.
Lisa.
Thank you, Jonathan. I see in the chat that Martin Boyle is asking, don't we want to have a say? And I agree, and that's also what's been raised by Robert, that we want to have the conditions set for the accountability group. It's not. I don't see anything that Chuck is proposing is contradictory to this, that we're not going to have a say, because you can build in mechanisms where you have a review of whatever is going to be proposed. Thank you.
Greg?
Greg Chatton, for the record. I'm conscious of trying to slice the smoked meat too thinly here, but it kind of crumbles. The concern I have is, one of the lists, and I think the list that I see Alan, I'll call it Alan's list for the moment, or maybe it's Chuck's list, of things that without which our group's work would essentially be incomplete, so that we need to give fairly specific criteria to the CCWG and to encourage them to prioritize this work even within Workstream 1. It's almost Workstream 0, except I think something else has already been designated Workstream 0. So this is stuff that, without which our proposal would kind of not be able to come to fruition, which is a little bit different from things that need to be in Workstream 1, because even though they're not part of our proposal, they're part of creating an accountability atmosphere that's sufficient for the transition to proceed, which I think relates to what has been called by some the backstop function of NTIA, which is that, in essence, the NTIA has kind of been big daddy that, at least, you know, implicitly could pull the IANA function or say they're unsatisfied with ICANN's general work results, even if it has nothing to do with the IANA function per se. I do think that kind of backstop accountability is part of the CCWG's work and not ours. But yet, it's that sort of thing really needs to be, or a lot of that needs to be, in Workstream 1. But this work, that's not quite the same thing as what we need to feel that our work has been completed. And if we're not going to do an absolutely complete self-sufficient job ourselves, which we shouldn't, these are supposed to be interrelated and interdependent, then we need to give specific guidance on criteria that should be met by the aspects that are really feed into, directly link with the accountability mechanisms and oversight mechanisms that we're designing. And that hopefully if they do meet those criteria, we don't really need to reopen and revisit our proposal to create anything further. The converse is, if we give them these criteria and they don't end up delivering because their goals are so high and far and different that they can't deal with our requirements, we may have to reopen our proposal and add in some more specifics, which would be another possibility, but I think one that concerns me. Thank you.
Thanks, Greg. I tend to agree with you. So I think it feels to me like that a high priority work item is getting a first pass of those items out to our list, and working with Alan and Chuck and others of us who can weigh in on that, such that we can be. I mean, we'd like to review that at the Thursday meeting of this group. I mean, so that, because ideally we'd be signing off on that at the Thursday meeting this week of this group, so we can pass it across to the CCWG in advance of their Frankfurt meeting. So it feels to me that's a very clear stream of work that we need to get to work on, because in one sense, from our point of view, it takes it off our plate to the extent that you said, Greg, that we are then satisfied that those conditions are met, and it really helps from I think mine and Lisa's point of view as co-chairs to be able to then make sure we can focus our group in on the within the key timelines that we've got to work at and delegate appropriately to our colleagues in the CCWG. Feels to me like we've covered as much of this as we can for the moment. I'm just not sure that there's a whole lot more we can do in this call, and I'm not seeing a stream of hands wanting to do more. Personally, we've had a series of meetings here that's been quite hard work. So maybe we're at a point where we can start to think about wrapping this up. So where do we go moving forward from this? We have said that it's our intention as co-chairs to draft some form of statement in order to fully inform anyone who hasn't been able to participate in part or in whole in these intense series of meetings. So the idea would be to both inform some of the critical points that have come out of the weekend's work, but also to give direction as to where we see the work of this group going forward, in particular how it links and relates to the CCWG, as we've just been talking about. I think a critical area that we're going to have to be thinking about and dealing with in very short order, in addition to that or in related to that, is the timeline. I think it's pretty clear. We have been working towards getting a proposal I mean, our original intention, as discussed yesterday, was to have sufficient basis to write a proposal this week for circulation to the chartering organizations in a week from now. If it, that timescale needs re-examination. It just doesn't feel that that's realistic to make that. But nevertheless, we are mindful of the ICG and the time frame they're working on. So I think that's something Lisa and I will have to pick up in very short order after this meeting and rethink what remains a realistic timetable and assess that given where we are in the in the process now. One related point to that timeline is that arguably both the bifurcations of the solution or the bifurcations of the solution that relate to the issue of the formation of a contract company or an internal solution, both could probably do with some form of internal independent legal advice, in the sense that one requires an understanding of what the implications of the setup of this independent entity and jurisdiction and all sorts of issues cascade out of that that need some that we'll need some assistance with. And second, the internal ICANN, so-called internal to ICANN solution, or integrated solution is one way I've thought of it, will also need some advice on. So that's something else we need to get cracking on in very short order, is get some input from a legal point of view and ultimately some independent legal advice. We plan to meet next on Thursday in the week ahead. Can I get a confirmation of what time that's set for?
1400 UTC.
1400 UTC on Thursday, 15th of January. Grace, your hand is up.
Hi, Jonathan. This is Grace at Muhammad for the record. We actually have two calls that we've scheduled, but we can confirm the dates perhaps after this meeting just to make sure that the times still work for the chairs. So there are calls scheduled for next week on Tuesday for RFP 4, or potentially RFP 3, depending, and then a call on Wednesday afternoon for RFP 5 or RFP 3, depending, and then a call Thursday for the full CWG.
Okay, so we'll have a wrap-up meeting after this and with the coordinators, the co-chairs and the coordinators, and communicate shortly after that as to exactly what the meeting schedule is for the week and weeks ahead, so we can deal with that. But certainly, as far as I'm concerned, the Thursday, 15th of January meeting of this group is confirmed, 1400 UTC. Lisa confirms that as well. Chuck.
Thanks, Jonathan. Backing up to the timeline, I'd like to suggest that any suggested adjustments to the timeline not be firm, but rather be conditional. Conditional on getting the legal advice that you already talked about. Conditional on the ability to get broad community input without doing a public comment period. Any other conditions we think will be factors that will really impact that. If, as somebody said yesterday in one of our calls, I think, and it may have been Alan McGillery, that there's, we don't want to set a firm date and then miss it. And we know there are conditions on us being able to deliver, and we don't want to set expectations that we can't meet. So we need to identify the dependencies make any suggested calendar change dependent on those conditions, and we don't have to identify all those now, but I think that would be a much wiser way to go than saying, okay, let's try to get, we'll shoot for Singapore. Okay. Make sense?
Yes. Lisa?
Thank you, Chuck. Yeah, I think you're right. We need to take those into consideration, but we also need to have a dialogue with the ICG about this, and we have to find out where it all ends. And for me, I think those are very good points, because there's been a lot of groups have asked for independent legal advice, so that's one of the very important ones that we get before we have a final solution. But we have to recognize that we're also delaying a process of this. We consult with the ICG too.
I should probably just, I don't know if anyone else picked it up, but Chuck, those conditions are important. And one condition you mentioned that I just want to make sure is clear. You said conditional on getting satisfactory and broad community input without a public comment process. In other words, what I understood you to be saying was, in the event that we don't do an additional public consultation, we need to be sure we've got sufficient and broad community input.
This is Chuck, Jonathan. Yeah, I mean, if we don't do that, then when we go out to the SOs and ACs to get approval, we will be at considerable risk. And then, you know, and I just remembered the third condition. The other condition is that we can actually get the approvals from the chartering SOs and ACs in the timeline we give them. We're hoping that's possible, but what if we don't? I think that's another condition.
Okay. I think that probably brings us to a logical point. I see there's a hand up from Robert, though, so I'll go to Robert.
This is Robert. For the record, I'll just echo something that was mentioned yesterday, and I think echoing Chuck's comments as well, I think maybe a comment that can go back to the charting organizations is to have them give us a sense of what time they envision approval process being. Some it may be faster or slower, but if we got some sort of time estimate, that would be particularly helpful. And I'm not sure whether it was mentioned on the calls or mentioned in passing yesterday, but going into, if we do go into Singapore without a proposal ready and the timeline has been pushed past that date, I think it's very critical that we definitely have additional text that has a lot of the different items that we've discussed to show there's been considerable progress and it be seen as a positive at Singapore. A lot of work, a lot of effort, a lot of volunteer effort from everyone here and everyone on the call has been put in, and so we really need to make sure that it's seen as a positive, that it was a very difficult task, and not that we've not been able to do the task. Thank you.
Thank you, Robert. That's a great point and a very important one to start to wrap things up on. Lisa, is there anything you'd like to say in conclusion or finishing things off?
I was just seeing in the chat that Sean raised a point about what's going to be the use of the content that we produced since yesterday. And one of the means of doing this exercise was actually to give Bernie, who's trying to draft, to do some drafting on this direction on what should he do, and also RSP3B, to what direction should they try to draft the alternative proposal. So I think we have a lot of input for this, and that also goes to to Robert's point about we need to do more progress on the actual drafting of the two proposals, and I think we've reached a lot of convergence on where should we go with this. So I'm very positive, and I think we have accomplished a lot during this weekend, and I'm very, very glad that people have been participating actively and being constructive in the dialogue. Thank you.
Great. Thank you, Lisa, and thank you all. I think it has been a brutal schedule, but it has given us the opportunity to take the initial draft, take the public comment, take the surveys on the public comment, bring that feedback loop back into the CWG, chew it over very thoroughly in a way that gives us quite significant momentum to work on improving the draft. I think Robert's point is excellent about the opportunity to, regardless of whether the time frame does shift or not, to absorb this into a future iteration. And we've picked up a lot of critical points along the way, such as the linkages in with the CCWG, ensuring what dependencies there are on the solution, as Chuck just mentioned. So I think we're in pretty good shape, and that's been a very productive session. So thanks to my co-chair, thanks to the group coordinators, thanks to the support staff, and thanks, of course, to everyone, members, participants, and others who've involved themselves in this work of the CWG, and we look forward to picking this up with you in the days and weeks to come. Let's stop the recording at that point, and we'll close the call. Thank you.
Thanks, everyone.